I would like to introduce our guests today. Their names are on the board. Let's start with the woman in the middle is Nikki Doner-Sherwood, who is the founder and clinical director of the Center for Community Center for Oriental Medicine in Santa Barbara. Excuse that one. The Community Center for Oriental Medicine in Santa Barbara, and she's a licensed acupuncturist. To her left is Pamela Grant, who is also a licensed acupuncturist and in private practice.
Yes. Okay.
And to my left is Dr. Stephen Hosea, and I'm going to give him an official introduction. He's the director of clinical care for the Internal Medicine Residency Training Program and a specialist in infectious diseases. He's been in practice in Santa Barbara for 32 years. Okay. Did I do that okay?
Perfect.
Good. That was what Nikki told me to do.
Steve told me to.
Okay. And they're going to be talking about, I'm not going to pronounce it, although Nikki coached me, unconditional love, Qigong. And they will pronounce properly the name of the teacher and the name of the thing we're going to be doing. So with no further ado, whoever would like to begin.
Good morning. I feel like in a position speaking with you that I have not been formally trained for. And that's one of those things that I've come to love, because I know that my formal training has been pretty much my left brain, and I spent much of my life, if you can't hear me, tell me, and I can increase the volume, training my left brain. I spent 10 years in Boston doing what I thought was the best training I could get to be a medical doctor. Then I went to National Institutes of Health for 5 years, doing training and doing research in infectious diseases. And one of the things I noticed along the way was that you run into people from all over the country. And there was one consistent observation that I made, is that people who were from California wanted to come back to California. So being from Kentucky and having survived several winters in Boston, and the humidity in Washington, D.C., I thought, geez, maybe I should try that out. Well, it turned out a good friend of mine was out here in Santa Barbara who I came to visit, and just by luck, coincidence, happenstance, divine intervention, they needed someone in Santa Barbara where there are too many physicians who does infectious diseases, which of course is exactly what I did. So I came to Santa Barbara thinking, geez, I'm going to diagnose different infectious diseases and give antibiotics to people and cure them, and golly, how wonderful it's going to be able to be outside whenever I want to be outside. I got here just as the AIDS epidemic started. And I always reflect on the phrase of the way to make God laugh is to tell her your plans. And I felt like that is exactly what happened, because I felt myself not adequately trained to do what I was doing, which is caring for young men who were my age, who had a death sentence. And I could walk in the room and I could make the diagnosis of AIDS, and I knew that that person was going to die. I think that false hope is much more important than false despair. However, the realities of the situation where we did not have anything to cure AIDS, and the best we could do was move things around a little bit. And I found myself falling into a rhythm of being with folks. And the only thing that I could guarantee to them was that I would be there with them. And I couldn't guarantee that I was going to heal them, fix them, cure them. All I could guarantee would be that I was going to be there with them. So this gave me the opportunities to start to search my soul. and open up my right brain, which had been shut down dramatically by all that training that I had had that was there. And so I actually started exploring spirituality and different forms of spirituality and practices. Everything for me seemed to come back to meditation. So I tried meditation in all different forms, ways, situations, flavors, colors, whatever, and I can tell you my monkey mind would just come dancing through and take me away, and I'd get frustrated and stop because I couldn't do it perfectly. And this continued and continued, and about 2.5 years ago, I went to Bali. And when I came back from Bali, I it's like one of those vacations that you dream about. I was walking on clouds when I came back, and I was going in, and I was seeing patients, and I was just full of this incredible joy and presence and love and just bring it on, whatever it is, I can take it. It does not matter. I'm enough, and I'm just here to be with you. And over the course of time, it sort of began slipping between my fingers, and I felt like, geez, I'm back to where I was before, and I got to get back to Bali because I need to go get another dose of that. And a good friend of mine pointed out to me that if I did that, I was just going to become a spiritual junkie, meaning that that was the magnet that might fix things for a moment, but it really wasn't any healing involved in that. It was like the adage, you know, give someone a fish, you feed them for a day, teach them how to fish, and you feed them for a lifetime. And it dawned on me that this was really all about was me teaching myself what I needed to do, and to, rather than look out there, to maybe look in here. So I started meditating. And in lots of different ways, situations, and I actually found myself looking forward to meditating, and without any expectations of where it was going to go or what was going to happen. I was talking to one of my patients one day, and for some reason he was getting treatment for a bad lymphoma that when he'd come in, I had been with him through that diagnosis, and we were talking about how he was doing so well with chemotherapy. If you ever see anybody who gets chemotherapy, I mean, they get sicker than stink. And it's almost like the relief is to stop the chemotherapy so they don't feel so terrible. He didn't have any symptoms at all. So I said, you know, what's the story? How are you managing to do this? Tell me about it. He said, well, I meditate. And he was a Buddhist. And so we got into this dance of where anytime I would come in to see him and make rounds with him, we didn't talk about how he was doing. He would give me a Zen koan that I was supposed to interpret before I left the room, which was an incredible dance. I mean, I just love the opportunity to do that. And we talked about meditation and doing meditation and his form, what he did. And one of the things that he told me, and I love when patients teach me, and they continue to teach me. He said, you know, it's important to have something to anchor your meditation, and he did Qigong. And he suggested that I try Qigong. So, of course, I thought, okay, I'm going to do Qigong. I ran into a friend, mentioned to her that this conversation. She said, well, you know, there's this guy who's really good who's coming to Moab, Utah, and I'm going to go. And I said, I'm going to go too. Mm-hmm. And that person was Master Lee. And when I got to Moab, Utah, I was sort of like, well, you know, get to Moab, Utah, what are you doing, Moab, Utah? It's sort of like out in the desert, and there's just rocks and dirt. And so I went skydiving. I've never done that before.
Of course.
Just to sort of prepare myself for what was going to happen. So I'm sure there's a metaphor there about taking the leap. And I think I was probably actualizing it on some level or another. So I was sort of open to whatever was going to happen. And So I went into the room, and Teacher Lee was there, and he was talking to some people. And someone said, well, show us how you do this form or whatever, and is how you would do it. And so he goes into this movement, this form, and I'm standing there watching him, and I'm just like you guys, standing there watching him. And I have tears running down my face as I appreciate the joy that he was able to manifest and how he put his whole heart and soul into exactly what he did. And I'm thinking, whoa, there's something here that I want to learn from this person. And there were a whole bunch of people in the room, and they were of the same sort of mind. Everybody was there together, sharing together, being together, and they were at one with one another. And the sole purpose was doing these movements. So, to me, these movements and what these movements do for me is it's all about qigong, which means cultivating qi. And I can't really give you a good definition of what qi is, but I can tell you, when I walked to that doorway right there, it was flowing out of this room. I mean, I stopped out of respect, but also because I wanted to be part of that. And I stood there, and I bathed in your all's qi. And what the movements do is help bring that qi, which is life force. And that life force in each and every one of us, it's in those trees out there, walking here from Cottage Hospital with the sun shining down, the trees, the rocks, the ground. It was like, bring it in. And what I do with qigong and the cultivation of qi, the practice of qigong, what it's all about for me is bringing that life force in, which is free, no charge, no taxes, no nothing. It's out there, and it is abundant. You don't run out of this at all. And it's bringing it in, and it's allowing it to move through the body without being stuck and flow through me. And I feel like when I'm doing qigong is that the universe, from the stars through me down into the earth, and that I am part of it. I'm a living part of it. I realize I'm here encapsulated in this skin with these bones and organs and whatnot that I try and make diagnosis of and figure out what's going on physically with people. But what is really the life energy, the life force? And how do you tap into that? I mean, it's been something I've been searching for. And I really thought that by serving other people as a physician, I'd be able to get in touch with that. And I kept looking out there for it. And once I figured it out, it was really an inside job. And I just acknowledged that, and I allowed that, and I surrender to that energy from the universe, from the earth, and bringing it down through my soul and connecting that and being part of that. And I tell you, I do that every day. And it is amazing to me. It's absolutely amazing to me. The days that I do qigong, I have much more energy, and it is a better day. I have gone to 3 or 4 weekends with Teacher Lee, and each time I learn something new and get a different flavor of what's going on. And then I found out he was giving a teacher training down in Austin, Texas. And it was for 10 days in Austin, Texas. So how many things could I think of that were wrong with spending 10 days in Austin, Texas doing qigong? I thought, you know, there's no way I can do anything for 10 days. So I went to, and as usual, I waited for the last minute to sign up. And of course, I called and they were absolutely full and they said they'd get back to me. And I thought, well, it's just not going to happen because it was supposed to start on a Sunday. And I called like on a Wednesday afternoon, and they called back the next morning and said, well, you know, it's it's funny, somebody just canceled, and you can take that spot, and we can actually give you the room that you would have wanted with one other person rather than being in a dorm. And I thought, okay, that's great. So I signed up, got my plane reservation, and was on my way, and suddenly realized, geez, you know, I don't know how I'm going to get from the airport to the camp, which is an hour or so away. I have no idea how I'm going to get there, because I hadn't signed up for the bus that would take you. I had no way of getting there. I thought, I'm going to have to walk. What is going to happen? So I'm wandering through the Phoenix airport. And as I'm wandering through the Phoenix airport, I run into these two women who I say hello to, and, oh, where are you guys going? Oh, we're going to Teacher Lee's 10-day training seminar. Well, how are you getting there? Oh, we're renting a car. Why? You want to come along? So I tell you this because when I meditate and when I do Qigong, I clear my mind out and I listen for the divine. And the divine comes to me in terms of creativity and experiences that I don't have any control over. And this was a perfect example of that occurring. And it's about being aware and mindful of those things that happen in everyday life. And I can tell you, I went down there, I spent 10 days down there, it went like that. I mean, I can't believe it was over. And we actually spent 2.5 days doing one motion. That I was concerned that we didn't do it long enough. Now, I know that sounds crazy, and it sounds crazy when I say it, but it was remarkable, and it was, again, another experience bonding with people, sharing the love with people, sharing the chi with people. And when I came back, I found that, well, I have two bad knees, and they've been bad for a long time. I played basketball back in Kentucky. Back in Kentucky, that's about all you do is play basketball or smoke cigarettes or drink bourbon. So I would play basketball, and my knees are just gone from playing on the asphalt back there, and I've had to stop playing basketball. In fact, I have to take the elevators up and down Cottage Hospital. And when I was doing chi, we'd get in these positions and hold these various positions, and I wouldn't be moving, and everybody would be completely quiet, and I could hear my knee. You hear it? Yeah, I just heard it right in. But I would not be moving, and I could hear my knee changing. And I, what is this? So my knee has got the best range of motion now that it has had in 20 years. I subsequently discovered, and I'm proud to tell you this, although in another moment I might have been somewhat ashamed to tell you this, but I had gotten to the place where when I put my boxers on in the morning, I would sort of have to lean.
Be careful.
Make sure I don't fall on my face. Yeah. I don't have to do that anymore. I have the balance that I had lost. 2 weeks ago, I was going up the stairs at Cottage Hospital, and I was in a hurry, and I just didn't think. I took the stairs two at a time. Now, I used to do that 15 to 20 years ago. I haven't done that in 15 to 20 years. Now, I can't tell you there's absolute cause and effect. I haven't done a double-blind, placebo-controlled study with my left brain desires to hear before I declare that this was a significant clinical trial. But I can tell you that Teacher Lee and doing Qigong and meditation has changed my life in an incredible way. And I, you know, part of the reason that it was so wonderful coming here today was to just share that joy and thrill with each and every one of you. And I, you know, I just thank you so much. As I came to the door, and it's like, you guys are sharing it with me. So thank you.
Mickey, I have a microphone for you if you need it.
I don't think I do.
Well, they'll tell you.
You can tell me if I need the mic. Well, Steve, what I'm going to do is just talk a little bit more about what Qigong is, and then specifically what Shengzheng Qigong is. And
Mickey, I think we need
the microphone.
Need the mic?
Yeah,
Seeing. So let's see if this is on. Speak into it about 2 or 3 inches away, and let's see what they say.
Okay. Is this better?
Yeah.
All right. So I am going to cover a little tiny bit more of what Qi and Qigong is, and then I'm going to define Shengzheng Gong and talk a little bit about that. And then I would like to show you 2 moves that we can practice together. And I think Pamela is going to show us some more. Like Steve said, Qi is life force energy. Qi is what keeps us in our body in this life on this planet. So where there is qi, there's life, and where there's no qi, there's no life. As Steve said, gong means the practice of qi. So it's the practice of building, cultivating, circulating, storing qi in the body, specifically for the purpose of health and wellness and longevity. Also, as Steve said, we can feel qi. Cannot touch it, cannot see it, cannot measure it. But through the practice of qigong, we really can develop a lot of sensitivity to qi. Qigong has a very long history in Chinese culture, dating back to 7,000 years ago. Specifically for this purpose of health and longevity. Shengzheng Gong, Shengzheng means unconditional love. So Shengzheng Gong is the practice of unconditional love, Qigong. Each of the movements has a contemplation or meditation that accompanies it. These meditations teach us about love. They teach us how to open our heart, how to let go, how love is a very powerful medicine. They teach us to relax the body and let go of stress. There are 3 functions to Shengzheng Gong. The first function is that it benefits the physical body. And there's a fundamental understanding in Chinese medical philosophy that says qi is the commander of blood. And what this means is that qi moves blood. So when qi becomes stuck, blood becomes stuck. When blood becomes stuck, we're more at risk or more prone to developing chronic, debilitating, life-threatening diseases. So each of the movements of Shengzheng Gong stimulates our qi to flow. The other way that it helps the physical body is that it teaches us to relax our muscles, to relax our bones, our joints, our organs. Our heart, it teaches us to relax our mind. The more we can relax in our physical body, the easier qi can move through. And this benefits our health. The second function of Shengzheng Gong is that it balances the emotions. So like I said, each movement is accompanied with a meditation or a contemplation, and these are philosophical teachings about life. The teachings teach us, again, to reduce stress, to open our hearts, actually teach us, give us the ability to let go of sadness, grief, to let go of worry and fear, to let go of anxiety and depression. They teach us to stop clinging and to open, to expand. Teacher Lee defines happiness as a state of ease. The third function of Sheng Jiang Gong is to elevate our spirit. So it's through the practice of opening and purifying our heart with unconditional love that naturally elevates our spirit. When our spirit is elevated, we want to take better care of ourselves. We make better choices for ourselves. When our spirit is elevated, we open up to others. We want to connect. We want to help. What I said at the very beginning about Qigong's purpose, many, many styles, there are thousands of styles of Qigong, and the thread that is common to all is that it benefits the physical body and promotes longevity. For Sheng Jiang practitioners, the reason we all want health, right? The reason we want longevity is so that we can give and receive more love. So these are the words of Teacher Lee. So I'd like to teach you two moves. And can we stand? Can people stand? I don't think I can use this anymore. Position yourself where you can see either Steve or Pamela or myself. The first, can you hear me in the back? The first move
should be, maybe I can do that. Can we do this close together? Yeah.
This we can, this first move we can do very close together.
Okay.
So if you can see Steve, if you can see Pamela, if you can see me, great. If you can't, try to move to where you can see one of us. The first movement is called Zhongtian movement. It is the movement that signifies the beginning and the end of our practice. It looks like this, and then I'll explain. Just watch. Ready? Begin. The meaning of this movement is that it has two meanings. One is that it begins our practice and closes our practice. It purifies and cleanses our body, our mind, our hearts, our words to prepare for our practice. So, cleansing of the hands, cleansing of our face, cleansing of our words and mouth, our heart and our body. Okay? Its deeper meaning lies in connecting to heaven or to the universe, to the earth, and having connection. So I'll just define it. Hands come to the face. We'll follow one of us, please. Palms open. Blow.
Left hand floats up just to the eyes. Right hand comes down, palm up, right below the belly button. Left hand floats down the very center of your body. Back of left hand rests in the right palm. Thumbs touch. We'll do this again later. The next movement that I would like to show you is called boat rowing in a stream of air. This is a beginning practice. So Pamela, Steve, and I will demonstrate, and then I'll break it down. Ready? Begin. Do two more. So I'd like everybody to try it together. Follow whichever teacher you're closest to. We'll do just a few minutes of practice, and then I'm going to break it down into more detail for you. So keep your eyes on one of the teachers and follow their rhythm. Ready? You begin. Body moves forward. Hands come down at the side. Making sure you're relaxed. Letting go any tension. Breathe in. Exhale. Breathe in. Exhale. Let's do two more. Breathe in. And exhale and relax. I'd like to just break this down into our upper body and then our lower body, and then we'll put it all together for you. So just not engaging our hips or our legs, we'll just begin by practicing. The goal is to bend forward while relaxing the back. Okay? And coming back up. The arms are generated by the movement of the torso. So if you can, pay attention to beginning to bend your body forward and your arms moving forward at the exact same time. So there's a synchronicity in the movement. That looks very good. Making sure your back is relaxed. Arms are also relaxed. Wrists are very soft as we move forward, slightly flexed as we pull back. Imagine your long, your arms are very long. Long neck. Long fingers. That looks beautiful. Okay, and let's just pause for a moment. The lower part of the body, as we bend forward, the knees bend as the body comes forward. So again, all in one move. Knees bend, body forward. Relaxing the back. Let's do it just a couple more times. And one more time. There's a slight nuance when we come up. And that nuance is that as we've gone forward, when we come up, we actually rotate the pelvis under our torso as we stand up. So there's a nice rocking motion in the hips. Bend, roll forward, stand up. Again, rock the pelvis forward, spine straightens. And pause. Anybody have any questions at this point?
How many times do you do that?
Well, as a beginning practitioner, until you feel tired. As an advanced practitioner, as Steve said, we spent 2.5 days doing this one move.
Both knees are bad. Is there a modification?
Just don't bend your knees. Just relax your knees. You don't have to bend. If anything hurts you in your body, don't force yourself. Only move to where you have comfort. Because if you're moving and you're in pain, your chi's not moving. So I'd like to spend just another couple minutes coordinating the move using the lower body and the upper body at the same time. And while we're practicing, if you get tired, you can stop. But what I'd ask you to do is maintain the space in your mind that you're still in practice. Okay? I'm going to talk about the contemplation of this move as well. So keeping your eyes on your teachers. Begin our practice, boat rowing in a stream of air. Ready? Begin. Breathing in, exhale. Breathe in, exhale. Breathe in, looks very good. Just keep going, making sure to relax, soften into any tension. Boat rowing in a stream of air is a practice that teaches us new perspective. The feeling sense of this movement is that you are enjoying life. If you have a curiosity of life, that everywhere you look, it's as if you're seeing for the first time, like a newborn baby, innocent, open, curious. You feel sweet. You feel open. Feel your arms long, like the oars of your boat, as you move through a stream of air. Fingers are long. Neck is long. You feel happy. You feel joyful. This movement, as with all Shenzhen movements, stimulates our chi to move, stimulates chi from the universe and from the earth to enter our skin pores, connecting us to life. Let's do 3 more. 1,
ago. Last time. And just pause for a moment. Thank you.
Pamela, are you going to?
Yes.
So let me turn this on.
What are you going to do? We have 15 minutes, so, right?
No, we have 11:30.
Oh, we have till 11:30?
11:30, yeah, yeah. There'll be questions, believe me.
So my name's, can you hear me?
Hello. How did everyone do with that? Anyone find it a little tough on the shoulders, knees, back? Yeah, okay. So always, this is not loud enough. It's got a funny echo up here.
Is it loud enough for folks?
Can you hear me?
Maybe you need to move.
Feedback?
Okay. Excuse my back here. So it's always important when we practice Qigong or Shengzhen Gong that we honor our body's limits. The physical movement is secondary. What is primary is where is your mind. So if the full movement, arms come up very big, feeling very open, but you can do it very small. You can do it, tiny little movement, but think the big movement. Feel like you're reaching out and you're grabbing the chi from the universe, bringing it into your body. You can even do no movement at all, but think the big movement. That's why Qigong is such a powerful practice for the rest of your life. This is something we can always do. Qi will follow the mind. And as Nikki said, the blood will follow the qi. So this really promotes circulation in the body. And it's how we can promote our health and heal the body, just using the power of our awareness. Think about where you get energy. A lot of times we think about food, sleep, chocolate, Starbucks. What else? I mean, how do you get energy? Breathing. You know, breathing techniques are good. We get energy from the air we breathe. What about your mind? What about awareness? This is the most potent generator of energy and of healing power. Think about when you're in a tiring conversation with someone, something that's upsetting. Nothing will wear you down more than listening to a difficult situation or being involved emotionally, mentally in a difficult situation. It can just wear you right down. It can make you ill. We see emotion as the basis for, what does Hans Selye say? 95% of disease has some emotional basis. So where are we addressing that? We can talk about our emotions. We can think about them. Where are we actually getting in and processing where we're holding on to it in our body? Many of us have found ways. We have found that this practice, Shengzhen Gong, is very powerful for balancing the emotions, opening this flow of circulation in the body. And forgive me if I'm repeating. I'm just kind of flying off the top of my head here. Another thing is Teacher Li talks about how love and qi are not separate. Love, he sees love as the original impulse in the universe. The original energy in the universe is first love. Out of love, he says, comes qi. Out of qi comes light. From light comes consciousness. From consciousness comes mind. But the origin of us, of everything in creation, is love. Now, if you take a look around at the universe is doing a pretty good job of organizing itself. Qi has intelligence. It has organizing power. It keeps the planets in rotation. If you look at the rhythms, the cycles in our planet, if you look at the eclipse, we're having a full moon today, if you look at the tides, nature has its ways. Nature has intelligence. Nature has rhythm. In the same way, our body has intelligence. Our body has rhythm. When we're in tune with nature, nature knows best, right? Isn't that what our mom always said? But this is true. And the more in tune we are with nature, with our nature, with the nature of the universe, the easier it is for the body to heal. Because nature knows what to do. If you cut your finger, man, I got the biggest paper cut the other day, just sliced it right open. It's amazing to watch it heal. How does it do that? How does it know how to do that? to really go into the biology of that. Fascinating. But nature knows what to do. In the same way, our bodies know how to heal. Things get in the way. Chi gets blocked. Energy doesn't flow. And we could give a whole talk on what it is that constricts chi, but for now, we're very interested in what opens the chi, and we found qigong to be very, very effective for keeping that flow of chi, and something we can do, as I said, for the rest of our lives. Does not require the big movement necessarily. I wanted to tell you briefly how I found out about Sheng Jingong, and to tell you that Teacher Li, Master Li Zhongfeng, we call him Teacher Li for short, will be coming to Santa Barbara for 3 months this winter and working with students. He likes it here. And Steve invited him to come, and I thought, how about 2 weeks? And Steve said, no, 3 months. But he said, okay. Austin's kind of crummy in the winter. So I was doing some training as an acupuncturist in fertility, because I work with women trying to get pregnant, men and women, and I was going to a conference, and I was looking at the list of speakers. I saw Teacher Li's picture. I didn't have that much interest in Qigong. I'm a meditator. I've been meditating 40 years. I'm very happy with my meditation practice. Qigong, I've heard about it, but I saw this picture, and I just went, who is that? He had such a brightness in his face. And I found out he's 74 years old. He looks like he's 50. I've got a picture here if you want to see. We can pass that around. He has such a joyful something in his face. And I thought, who is this man? So I Googled his name. And then I found this YouTube of this man, like Steve said, doing these like beautiful movements that had such a poetry and a joy. And I thought, I don't know who he is. I got to find out. I'm not looking for a teacher, but I got to find out who this guy is. So I called the International Shengzhen Society, and they sent me a DVD. And I plugged that in, and I just kind of followed along. And you know when you're learning something, like you're kind of peeking your eyes open and doing it and peeking your eyes open. And it wasn't even like a deep thing, because I'm trying to figure it out and follow it and close my eyes. And it was kind of stop and start. I got to tell you, I, this is the phrase I use in Forgive Me, It's My Generation. I got so stoned doing that. I did. I mean, it was like just so ecstatic doing these movements. I was sitting in a chair just following these arm movements 15, 20 minutes later, and I was just soaring. And I just thought, how the heck did that happen? You know, my orientation is very different. It's quiet. It's stillness. It's mantra. It's observation, meditation, but through movement, really? And I'm still saying this, like, really? This is what we're doing. We do these movements, and we feel great. We really feel great. And I do them with my patients. My patients are getting better. People with chronic pain, people with chronic depression, things that we really weren't getting to as well as I wanted, this seems to fill a niche that is unique, and I'm super excited about it. And so I met Teacher Li, and about a half a day later, I said, would you like to come to Santa Barbara? Didn't skip a heartbeat. He said, yes, I'll come. And so he's been coming here every few months and teaching some classes. And he, like I said, he'll be here for 3 months. So I just wanted to spend some time to tell you about that and to let you know that there will be some opportunities. If you're interested in meeting him and checking it out, I think it's a great opportunity. We'll put some information on the board. There's an international website. It's www.shengzhen.org, just like that, shengzhen.org. And we have a local email, which is shengzhensb, like Santa Barbara.com. And we have a list of our local classes there.
Is that .com or .org?
Well, the first one is .org, and the second one, yeah, he's got it, is .org. And that's just my utter ignorance. When I set up the website, I didn't know the difference, so I set up a .com, and it probably should have been an .org.
Is this right?
Yeah, that's it. And you can find information, you can find links, if you would like to see Teacher Li do his thing. He's so joyful, and this man is unstoppable. He's got so much energy. When he stays with us, you cannot keep up with him. 74, and it's like, please, can we just go to bed? He's still going. He really, I want to age like that. You know, He's got full mobility in his joints. He's got energy. He's got clarity. And he's happy. He's just a happy person. So let's stand up. We're going to do a little bit more movement. Stagger yourselves a little bit. I did want to ask your background. Everyone here meditates, I take it. Yes?
Yeah.
Yes. Wonderful. Okay.
Most people meditate.
Okay. So closing your eyes and sitting with yourself is not a weird thing for you, I take it. And how many here have done some form of Qigong? Very nice. Great. Great. And how many have done some Tai Chi and some yoga? What a great group. So you're already pretty fit. So this is fantastic. So some of these might not be very new for you, these types of movements. What I'd like to do now is a simple move called gathering chi. Many of you have seen this, have practiced this. It is powerful. You can practice this anytime. You can do it standing. You can do it sitting. You can do big movement. You can do small movement. You can do no movement at all. With this move, you want to be standing comfortably, feet facing forward. The knees are not locked. They're soft. Your lower back is soft. Tailbone's tucked under just a little bit. And what we're going to do, I'll do my best to talk and do this. I'll do it with one hand. Open the chest. Lift the chin a little bit. For a few seconds, just close your eyes and check in with yourself. See if you notice any sensations in your body. Maybe there's some physical pain. Maybe you feel some tightness in the chest or throat or stomach. We're not judging, we're just looking, observing. Slow, deep breathing. Notice the feet, your feet, and the floor under your feet. And by extension, the earth under the floor. We are part of Earth's energy. And through that, we can gain stability and strength. So feel like you're almost growing roots down from your feet, down into the center of the earth, connecting with earth's energy. At the same time, lift your chin just a little bit, open the chest. And connect with the energy around you. We call this heaven's energy. And to us, heaven means everything you can see and everything you can't see. It just means everything. So connect with everything. This connection is always going on. We are always connected to Earth. We are always connected to the universe. But when we stop and put our awareness on it, we hold on to less. We expand. We gather strength. The chi circulates in the body just through our awareness. Chi comes in through the top of the head, the center of the top of the head. It comes down through the head, the center of the head, fills the face, the throat, the chest, the torso. And we store it in a part of our body called the Dantian. The Dantian is the storehouse of our qi, and it's located a few inches below the navel and back in the body about an inch or two, depending on your size. This movement is always going on. We're gathering qi from the earth, gathering qi from the universe. And unique to being human, we can connect all of that planetary energy, universal energy, and experience it in a human form. This awareness is enough. And if you wish, you can just continue breathing light and soft, breathing the qi into your body through the top of the head and into the body, into the Dantian, storing it there. Gather from the earth, connect with the universe, bring it into the top of the head. If you would like to do a movement to accompany the contemplation, I'll use one hand, follow Nikki and Steve. As you breathe in, arms reach out, both arms. Chin lifted, chest open. The arms float up. Reach up. Gather qi, bend the elbow. Bring the hands down toward the top of the head. Qi comes into the body. Let your hands continue to float down. Many people know this movement. Look around. When your hand comes to the bottom, there's a pause. And then you scoop up the qi, connect with the earth, connect with the universe. Reach up, bring the qi into the top of the head, bend your elbows, let the qi come down the front of the body, into the head, into the throat, into the chest, stomach. Store in the Dantian. And you can continue this movement at your own pace. Remember, it can be a big movement or a small movement. More important is, where is your mind? Mind will wander. It's the nature of the mind. When you're aware that it's wandering gently, bring it back to the movement. The movement will help direct the qi. So much energy available to us. We only have to connect. Becoming more difficult in the digital age. Mind goes out. We turn the gaze inward. This movement also cleanses the emotions, removes negative emotions, allows heart energy to open. Relax your body as you do the movement. The more relaxed you are, the more the qi can flow. Last time, breathe in. Keep your eyes closed for a few seconds and notice how you feel. When the physical movement stops,
the qi begins to move. The qi becomes strong. You may feel some tingling. You may feel some lightness. This is qi. Take a breath in and let it go. And when you feel ready, very slowly, gently, open your eyes. Like Steve said, the qi, it's palpable in the room. Sometimes you can feel it, sometimes you can't. But usually after people do some qigong, you feel something. You feel just a little more in the moment, a little calmer, a little more energy. Everyone did really well. So you can do this. You can do this sitting, you can do it standing, big movement, small movement, gathering qi. So I have one last movement, very, very easy, and then we'll take some questions. This is laughing movement. Steve, come front and center, please. We don't need a microphone for this. But the movement is just the hands come up on the side, and then they float down. That's the movement. Okay? And you breathe in, and on the exhale, you laugh as hard as you can. And you do it 4 times. You'll see, it really changes the energy. But I think I'll turn the microphone off for this.
Steve, you want to lead us? Really, just let it rip.
So obviously you're going to breathe in as our arms go up together. And then you're just going to enjoy the moment. Ready? Begin. And one last time.
Finish with Shengtian movement. It's the movement we began with. Bring your hands up, blow. Left hand comes up while the right hand drops down. Left hand sweeps the face, throat, chest. This time, it's a gesture of gratitude for the ability to connect with this energy and a prayer to stay connected through the day and to share this joy with other people. Thank you all so much. And so we have a few minutes if you have questions. If you want to come up.
We have the best seat in the house for the laughing because we can just receive it all. Isn't that great?
I'll put on the mic.
Okay.
So, all right. So let's see.
I've got a question.
Okay, this is the live mic, so whoever answers, use the mic. Okay. Let's see. Anise first. Anise. Loud.
Yeah. It was real clear when you said the energy comes in the center top of our head and stores in the dantian, but you didn't give a path for the energy that comes from the earth.
Yes, good. Yes, thank you. It's a little challenging with the microphone. Maybe you can.
So we store the qi in the dantian. We bring the energy. It comes to the dantian, and we hold it there. Then relax. Then the hands come to the sides, and we're connecting there. So there's not really a direct path from here to there. This is a complete movement. The qi will store there. Then we begin again. Connect with the earth's energy, almost like you're scooping up connection, gathering qi from the earth. And it's not like we're taking anything from the earth. We're already connected. We're part of the earth. But we're becoming aware of that connection. Does that make sense? And then as you come up, become aware of the connection with everything.
Still, I don't get the loop from the energy from the earth. I mean, I'm trying, where does the energy that comes in from the top interface with
So when I do this, the energy comes in through the top of our head, through our palms right here, and from the soles of our feet.
All right. That's
and
good.
So when I'm doing this, as I'm coming like this, I am seeing and feeling the energy in my hands. And as I'm feeling it in my hands, I'm already feeling it in the top of my head, and it's coming up. It's just screaming up the soles of my feet up
right.
into the Dan Kin. And it's just a complete circuit. And it's just moving and flowing through me. And all I'm doing it is then directing it down so it can be stored here. As it's coming up through my legs, through my arms, and down through my head, I'm just telling it exactly where I want to carry it so I've got it so I can share with other people for the rest of the day.
So the energy from the earth is coming through your feet?
Yes.
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 And hands.
And the hands. Those are the five
and
places that we
joins.
Get energy. And
it,
we bring it down.
Joins.
Pardon?
It then joins what's coming
up. It's coming up. It's going. It's just flying through our body. It's just absolutely flying through our body. And it's just a matter of it's out there. And what we're doing, we're catching it. We're gathering it. We're bringing it in. And many times, it's like, you know when you're in water and you move your hands in water and you can feel the water? I can feel that. And I see it. And I mean, I can see it coming into my hand as I bring it in, into my heart, and down into the dantian.
Thank you.
So who's Chris? You have a question?
Just quickly.
Loud.
Does intention play a role in the opening and opening yourself?
Absolutely. Yeah. Intention is like one of the least utilized faculties that we have. So it's a very good question at this point. Do you guys want to add anything to that?
I just might add, there's a hospital in China that is not a Shengzheng hospital, Qiang hospital, but there are hospitals throughout China that people go to for mostly end-of-life care. And there are Qigong practitioners that just stand at the foot of the bed or in the center of the room while people are in their beds doing Qigong. And the intention is for the person reclining is to see themselves doing the movement and they benefit. Less suffering, longer quality of life, things like that.
In that brief moment before we start, when we're standing there, I'm usually setting my intention for what I'm going to do and gathering the qi and being in a place of unconditional love or what I set it there and at the very end I take a moment, I'm thankful for that. So I think intention is an incredible part of whatever we do throughout the day.
When I meditate, if I feel a difference.
Yeah.
So Lynn, you wanted to ask.
Yes, in your practice, do you have mudras to specifically remove stagnant qi?
The movements are the mudra. The movements are what stimulate qi to move. So there's no specific mudra. It's, we just use the movements to move qi. Do you want to add to that?
They all remove stagnant qi, but I'm familiar with, in East India, some of the mudras that are used. But an example in Qigong might be where the hand comes back and you breathe out the stagnant qi like this. Done through the dantian, through the abdomen. So that would be a mudra. In general, we don't use these movements in isolation except for gathering qi. In general, it's a sequence that each builds upon the other, and they're very beautiful. I think you'll enjoy. Check out the YouTubes.
Okay, so there's another question.
This is more a comment. I was I was struck by all the movements, but the last one just blew me away, the laughing. it wasn't just the joy of laughter, but I was brought to tears. I don't know, it was pretty mad, and I don't know if that's something other people have experienced. And yes, my husband had business, I also was understanding it separately, but that was totally...
That moves stuck chi.
That moves stuck chi. Other questions? Michael.
A little balance back to the left side of the brain for Steve. Were you on a TV show called Monsters Inside Me?
I was.
You did a great job.
Monsters Inside Me. Okay, Alice. Okay, so the question is, what's the difference between Tai Chi and Qigong?
My understanding is that everything comes from Qigong, that Tai Chi comes from Qigong, all martial arts comes from Qigong.
Other questions? Michael.
Just a note that from what I've heard, Qigong is practiced by most of the Chinese people, so therefore it is the most practiced wellness exercise in the world by a large amount. That's what I've heard.
By a large amount.
Every day.
Yeah.
Petale.
Why was it so threatening to the government that they outlawed it for a while in China?
I think it was all about control. Because the control people put on us from externally, we put it on ourselves from externally. And this is all about empowerment, personal empowerment, something that you can do at home for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Peter?
Is there a suggested amount of time for newbies to practice this at home every day? Just to...
The main thing is to practice every day. And I would say, from my experience, if you can practice 5 minutes, 10 minutes, it's sort of the more you put in it, the more you get out of it. But just even 5 minutes a day makes a difference. Oh, do you want to? We do have a free practice session on Saturday mornings at 9:15 in the Presidio Courtyard. I'm not quite sure what to call it, but
the Elephant Garden.
It's right behind the post office, so it's between Santa Barbara Street and Anacapa. The easiest way to find us is if you're driving up Santa Barbara Street, you cross De La Guerra, and immediately on your left, right in the middle of the block, is a parking lot. And you park in that parking lot, and you walk through a small little gate as if you're walking towards State Street, and there's a beautiful courtyard with a koi pond. And we meet there every Saturday morning at 9:15 till about 9:45. It's two standing poses. As I said, it's free. There's not a lot of instruction. You just follow along. But it's a nice way to start the day. Then head to the market.
Any other questions? Okay, is there... why don't we just give a Western appreciation...